Well, hello and welcome to the very first teleclass for 2013, which is called Fresh Ideas to Kickstart Your Best Year Yet. So I hope that whatever last year was, this year is even better. And I'm looking forward to a great 2016 myself. And who am I? I'm Angela Anoff. From Creating Order from Chaos and the Professional Organiser's Edge. The Edge is a membership program just for professional organisers, and it helps them develop skills, confidence, marketing and business nous and all kinds of good stuff like that, so that they can make their year the best year yet. So why are we talking about kickstarting your best year yet with fresh ideas? The main reason is that you want to stand out from the crowd and create the business that you want. Everybody's organising business is different. Some people want to fit it in around family commitments. Some people want to, make $1 million. Some people want to just help a lot of people and be a really great organiser that helps lots of people. So whatever it is, that's the wonderful thing about our industry is you get to choose it. So whatever we talk about tonight, keep that in mind. It's got to be the right business and the right business decisions for you and serving the people that you want to serve. You want to stand out from the crowd. You want to be the one that your target audience chooses rather than, the other organiser down the street. Now, for some people, it doesn't matter because they may be the only option for their local area. For others, you might have lots and lots of competition like I do here in Melbourne. But even the competition, don't let that bother you because there is enough work for everybody and enough for you to make this your best year yet, especially when you've got the backing of, some extra little tricks that I'm going to share with you today. So I want you to start 2016 with intention. So like I said, whatever it is that you want for your business, be deliberate about it. Be intentional. So if you haven't already sat down and thought about what you want from this year, we're going to cover that a little bit, but it's worth spending quite a bit of time on. Okay, so what we're going to cover in tonight's teleclass is getting some energy and inspiration, planning your calendar, because that's going to be an important part of making this year your best year yet. And I'm going to give you three separate ideas, which are the fresh ideas that are going to help you kickstart your best year. And then there's a bonus task, which is not earth-shattering, but it's vital and important. So got all that. And as usual, we have code words. I will be sharing code words with you. Write them down. Send them to me. I'll tell you how to do all that. And the reason is you want to claim your accreditation with APO. It's really important to, it's another way to stand out from the crowd is with accreditation. Okay, let's get into it. So we want to be energetic and inspiring, and if we're not that in our own business, how can we possibly be that for our clients? So a good place to start to get some energy and inspiration, now you can do this with your clients, you can do it for yourself, and that is to change your story. If your story is I'm not a creative person. If that's the story you're telling yourself, then you won't be a creative person. If the story you're telling yourself is, I'll never make enough money to support my family, you will never make that much money because the story you're telling yourself is going to keep you from achieving that. So here's another way to look at it. Once upon a time, you were not a professional organizer, but now you are. So that story has changed. No reason why other stories can't change as well. So have a look at the things that you're telling yourself on a regular basis, the things that are limiting beliefs, the things that are holding you back without you perhaps even knowing it. So if you hear yourself saying, I'm not a creative person, or I'm not good at X, Y, and Z, change it around to, I'm growing my skills in X, Y, and Z. Or I used to not be creative, but I'm learning to see creativity in myself. You know, you don't have to lie to yourself, but you do have to challenge the limiting beliefs. All right. Another one to get that energy and inspiration that's so important at this time of year is to know your why. Why are you doing this? Why are you putting in the hard work to make your best year yet? Why? You know, is it because you want to be able to put food on the table for your family? Is it because you want to have, you know, your own bank balance and contribute to the household that way? Is it that you want a business that will help you do the things that you love, help you help lots of people? So whatever it is that you're doing, you've got to know why are you doing it. Now, I've done this exercise recently for all parts of my life, and it's interesting that sometimes there are very logical reasons why you want to do something. And sometimes it's just because you love the feeling of the thrill of the chase or whatever. So that's okay, as long as you recognise what is the why, what's going to get you out of bed, springing into action. Okay. If you haven't already, it's time to set your goals and your intentions. Some people don't like to set goals, but they say they have an intention for the year, or there might be a key word. One of our members shared her key word is going to be focus for the year. Fabulous. So whatever she's doing throughout the year, she reminds herself, focus is the key word for me, and you know, let's get back on track with that focus. It's almost like a trigger, a little, you know, a reminder to keep on track. If you do make goals, make them SMART, S-M-A-R-T, and I won't go into it now because we've got a lot to cover, but look up SMART goals, and there's lots of really good explanations online about how to make them SMART. And then, of course, you've got to make your goals happen, and that's with actions. It's no use having a goal, sticking it up on the wall, and then walking away and hoping somehow that it happens. You've got to make sure you do the things that make it happen. So for me, one of my goals is to get below a certain weight by the end of March. So the way I'm making that happen is daily exercise, and I've got lots of other things in place to make me achieve that. And then shine. I want you to shine, shine, shine. And if you're not feeling very, very shiny, fake it till you make it. Sometimes just the act of smiling makes you smile. Sometimes the act of getting out of bed, putting on your shoes, getting dressed makes you feel ready to challenge the world. Sometimes you have to push yourself to fake it till you make it. Another way to shine is surround yourself with reminders of the why, the goals, etc. And that might be with a vision board. It might be creating a collage that sits on your computer desktop. It might be with some motivational quote that is hanging, you know, somewhere obvious. Surround yourself with positive affirmations and so on. and surround yourself with the right people. Be careful about who you hang out with, and that's also on social media. You know, lately I've seen a lot of griping, and I don't want to be around it, so I just check out. I don't get involved in the griping. It would be easy to do that, but I'm choosing not to. And then another way to shine is to eliminate procrastination, and that is way easier said than done. Yeah. However, I've heard a really good expression lately, and I remind myself, do the next right thing. So instead of thinking about the what ifs and all the you know, the 20 things that you've got to do, which can put you into a procrastinating mode, just do the next right thing. It might not be perfect. It might need adjusting at the end when you've done it. But just do the next right thing. Just do something that will move you closer to your goal. Okay, good. I hope you're feeling energized and inspired. If you're not, have a think about how you can start that process of, you know, changing your story, knowing your why, setting your goals and intentions and shining. Let's look at your calendar. I really think it's valuable at this time of year to plan your year ahead. Plan your calendar. Put in all the known things that you want to do. So if it's a holiday, a trip away, put that in. Put that in first. Don't wait till it happens or hope that it happens later, because it just won't. Plan that. Plan around the seasons. Are there things that you want to do? For instance, you know, in winter time, are you planning to spend nights at home? Whatever that means for you, the seasons, plan around that. For me, I plan on not taking on new clients in December. It's one of my policies for a few years now. So I know that in December, my focus is elsewhere, not on taking in new clients. Plan for the APO conference. Make sure you get it into the calendar. And even if you don't know how you're going to get there now, plan for it and somehow the path will become clear. Plan for your speaking commitments. Now, this is important because some places book way, way, way ahead. So, you know, if you wanted to get into the community group calendar, you've got to approach them now to get in the next term. So plan for it. Plan your promotions. If you know that one of the things that you want to do this year is get an ebook out, plan when that launch is going to happen. Plan the marketing that's going to happen for that. Plan everything you possibly can so that you can work intentionally and work towards these goals in an organized manner. And then, of course, you've got to be realistic. You know, don't plan too much. Don't put too much on your plate when you are planning all this. Be realistic and, yeah. Of course, I mentioned holidays. School holidays might be something very real for you. Plan around those. Plan that maybe you won't have as much time to work on your business and so on. Okay. Brings us to the end of that little chapter and the first code word, which is calendar. Mark your calendar for all the important dates. Okay, now, idea number one, and I had one of these in the last 12 months and it worked really well for me, so well that I'm sharing it with you and hoping that you will do something similar. I held an open house. When I first was presented with this idea, it was a bit scary. Fancy inviting a bunch of strange people into your home. What about security? What about privacy and all that sort of stuff? So they are considerations, and you've got to, you know, set your boundaries that you're comfortable with. But in my case, it worked really well. I have really good security in my building anyway, so, you know, I didn't think anybody would come back and rob me or anything like that. So, yeah, I had an open house for my 10-year anniversary, and that was last February. So it was appealing to people because here I am living in a small apartment. You know, here I am presenting myself as an expert organiser, and they get to peer behind the scenes and have a look. I invited pretty much everybody on my list, and I have a couple of different groups of people that I see. You know, there's the decluttering clients and my training clients. So I had all different people come, as well as my business colleagues that have supported me and helped me over the last 10 years. I put out the call to people who had been, you know, I'd been networking with and had become friends, so they were invited as well. And this worked really well for me, in so well, in fact, that several of the people that came that had not been clients before, they were on my database, they were on my newsletter list, but they hadn't been clients, they became clients after that. So naturally, that's a pretty good outcome, and one that I would hope for you. It worked even for the people who didn't come and who couldn't come because either they don't live in this town or whatever other reason, because again, it made me stand out from the crowd. Wow, you know, she must be confident. She's inviting us right into her home. So some of the things that I did were a little tour of my home. I did some games. We did the sorting chocolates game, which was a bit of fun, and a demonstration for people to see that different people organise differently, etc. And I sort of talked about the routines that helped me and all that sort of thing. So you could do that too. Present people with a tour of your home, the things that work really well, some favourite products of yours, favourite routines, the storage solutions that work for you. Show the imperfection as well. That was one of the things that I had to sort of agree with myself about, that I wasn't going to get really stressed about people coming. I made sure the cleaners had been, which was great. But apart from that, I didn't sort of do anything except make sure the place was tidy and ready for visitors, as I would if I was having visitors. So, you know, yes, there was dust under the bed. There was a few other imperfections. My husband's half of the bookcase is a bit messier than I would like. People got to see that. But it makes you seem human as well and gives them something, a bit of comfort, I think. So how do you do this, this open house thing? Well, you set a date, and in my case, I had a reason. I had the 10-year anniversary. You don't have to have a reason. You could just have a, you know, kicking off the year open house. You could have a, you know, sneak peek behind the scenes, whatever. Set the date and send out an invitation. And as I always say, you've got to, you know, have a good database. But whatever your database is, you can use that and use other people's as well. You know, reach out to the people that you're aligned with and invite their help to help you get the word out. You've got to think about the food and drink and what you're going to do with people when they're here. We had, you know, we popped some bubbles, but in reality most people aren't going to drink a lot because they're probably driving. And I do this anyway, but I try always to have food that is maximum effect for minimum effort, and that's one of my organising techniques too. I try to get people to see that it doesn't have to be fancy to be nice and tasty, and so on. Saves time. Plan your activities so So whether that's a tour, a game, a quiz, a demo of your favourite products, whatever you plan to do, plan probably more than you think you might need, because they can fill up the awkward silences, because they happen, you know. Somebody knocks on your door, they've never met you before, and you've got to somehow have a conversation with these people and make them feel welcome. Once you've sent out your invitation once, keep sending it. Keep spreading the word. Keep marketing. Make sure people do feel welcome to turn up. And then, once the event is all over, follow up. It's key, isn't it, to do the follow-up afterwards. And whether it's just to say, thanks for coming, or even to the ones who couldn't make it, but maybe they contacted you and said, congratulations, or, you know, thanks for the invitation, but I can't come. Stay in touch with them as well. Say, look, thanks for letting me know you would have liked to come, but you couldn't. I'll let you know when I'm in your area or whatever, we can catch up for a coffee. Stay in touch. So, the open house. Does anybody feel brave enough to hold an open house?
No.
When the kids grow up.
Fair enough.
We just bought a farmhouse, so it's not anywhere like my style. It needs too much renovation. So maybe when it's renovated, I would.
Well, there you go. You could have a little, ta-da, here's my renovations. But I'm going to challenge you to think about, what if halfway through your renovations you invited people to see that it's for real, and there are some strategies you're using along the way that make it livable. If I had had people visit my home when my kitchen was getting done, they would have seen my little, temporary kitchen. They would have seen that, you know, we had stuff stashed in all kinds of corners. It would have been a bit interesting, I think. I did take photos, but, okay. So I will challenge you. Think about the open house. Now, there's other ways to do a little step towards it as well. Are there any questions about the open house technique?
No.
No?
No.
Okay. All right, let's move on then to idea number two, and that is the coffee chat. I've done this a few times with a few different groups of people, and it is basically just an invitation to coffee, not in your own home this time, but that could happen. I always make it in a cafe near to me, so I don't have to travel very far. and I invite people, I send out an invitation. Now, sometimes it might be to people who are interested in organiser training, or it might be people who want to know about decluttering. I keep the group small. In fact, it keeps itself small, because not everybody is going to be available on the same day and so on. I think the most I've ever had turn up to one of these coffee chats is about 7 people, and that was quite a big group to talk to, you know, in a coffee shop setting. But it worked quite well. As well as doing it in person, you could do it virtually. You could do it in on Skype, so that people can see your face, or you can do it on, say, Facebook in a group setting. But you would set the time, you know, to say, all right, this is what we're going to do right now, and then you'd be chatting, etc. So that's my experience. So, like I said, I hold it in a coffee shop nearby. I shout the coffee and invite people at no cost to them. They can come along, listen to some tips or whatever they're sharing. Most often they want to ask questions. And, you know, obviously I'm trying to let them know about what's going on with me, so I will have information that I want to tell them about. So some ideas that you could present during your coffee chat is the Q&A. If people come along and want to know what does an organiser do, how do you work and all that sort of thing. You could bust some myths. There's some really, crazy things that people think about organisers. So you could bust myths. You could share the top tips on or the top what not to do. You could talk about organising trends. In the Q&A this morning, we were talking about Marie Kondo's book. You could have a little discussion group about that if you wanted to. You could explain to people your process. How do you work? You know, because that might be a question that they're wondering about. The how-to, again, set the date. Make sure it's a good location, something that's not too noisy, something where the coffee is actually good, somewhere hopefully you can reserve a table so that you're not, ending up standing in a corner looking ridiculous. I have a couple of places that where I'm on good terms with the people, with the barista and so on. And so they know me so well that, it's not unusual when I say, look, can we have that particular table over there? I'm expecting up to 5 people. And, as they come in, can you please take their order and deliver it? That works fine. Send out your invitation again and think about who you want to invite. This is a little bit more intimate and you really want to make sure the right people are getting invited to join you. You don't want just the negative Nellies, which there are some around, aren't there? And when you send the invitation, it's a good idea to ask, what's your biggest challenge? Now, I should have said for the open house as well, when you send the invitation, you've got to make sure people respond before you give them the location. You don't want to have just any old person turning up. Give them the info once they've committed, once they've given you their contact details, their name, their phone number and so on. So, and that works so that you can follow up with them if they haven't turned up as well. But ask them, what is your biggest challenge? And this can open up, an opportunity for you to develop some leaflets or something that you can hand out to people. The top 5 challenges people mentioned were these, and here's some ideas for how to help you. Think about making it a regular thing. Maybe once a quarter would be enough so that people get to know it's happening and get to feel comfortable with the idea that I couldn't make it this time, but maybe next time I will put it in my calendar. Watch out for distractions. That's in the venue. Watch out for, other people sort of listening in. That's okay if they do, but you want to be able to control it, I guess. The major distraction I'm thinking of is one time I held a coffee chat at a cafe and we were sitting outside, which was lovely in the warm sun, but the beep, 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 beep from the pedestrian crossing next door nearly drove me nuts. So don't, scout the place out and figure out what is going to work for you. Give them something to take home, whether that's a business card or a leaflet with some tips or, a handout with your workshop times, whatever it is, make sure they've got something to take home with them that has your contact details on it. And then follow up. Always follow up. So, anybody willing to try a coffee chat?
Maybe. Yes.
Yeah?
No, yes.
Excellent. Can you see yourself doing it on a regular basis?
Yeah, I can.
Yeah?
Yeah, it sounds Sounds not bad, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Can I just ask you a quick question at all? Who, like, the sorts of, I missed it earlier because I was set to pop out, but when you were saying who to invite to your coffee group, and then you said be careful who you invite.
Yep.
Are you inviting maybe people that have sort of looked you up but not followed through, or Facebook
maybe.
Followers?
Yeah, it really depends on the intention of it. For me, most often I do it for my training people. So they've let me know before that they're interested in training and thinking about it, etc. They've probably signed up for my newsletter, so it'll go out in that, and it's about that. But for declutter clients, it could be, you might theme your coffee chat, so you might say, we're going to chat about where to start, you know, and then people who are, you know, just in that thinking about it mode, who really don't know where to start, might feel more okay about coming along.
And do you invite the same people every time, or do you invite different people each time?
It would go out to the same people, but you don't have to. You could always exclude people that have been before. But I think it's good. Like, I think it would be a good sign if people started coming regularly, because you're building your trust with them.
How does that happen, though, if, say, you know, five people come and five people want to keep coming back, but there's five more people that have been made inquiries? How do you deal with that?
Okay. Well, if you're doing it on a regular basis, you could say that you are opening it up to people who haven't been first, and then if there's space, you'll open it up to other people as well.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to approach it.
Or you could have a ballot or something like that, you know, so that you get to choose who's coming.
Okay.
I don't think it's going to be a problem for a while, but if it's that popular, you're onto something.
How often are you doing it, Angela?
Oh, I do it probably every 6 months or something.
A couple of times a year,
right? Yeah.
Okay. And you find it's good to maybe... Is it more like, is it a bit about putting awareness out there as well as perhaps getting a new client or people getting to know who you are?
It's both. I mean, I've had success with directly getting clients. So, you know, somebody who was on my waiting, oh, not my waiting list, my newsletter list came along and, you know, pretty much a week later rang me up to book because she felt comfortable, you know, she was just, you know, at ease with me, therefore she was ready to take the next step.
Mm.
So you can get direct clients, and you never know, you know, you never know at what stage they're at with their readiness, if they're going, you know, you never know. People.
Well, I just thought then, you know, with the newsletter thing, that you could say, instead of, because I've been giving away, you know, items, you know, as part of my giveaway for my newsletter, you know, win a bottle, you know, rack thing for your fridge or whatever.
Yep.
You could say win a, you know, send this email to a friend that you think would like it, CC me into it, and go into the draw to win a coffee chat with me. That could be quite cool.
Yep.
And then it's kind of cool, and then you can say at the bottom it's limited to you know, six people or whatever it is.
Yep, perfect.
I like that idea. Yeah. I think I'm quite keen to do that.
Good. Excellent.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea.
Okay, any other questions about the coffee chat?
No.
No? Okay. The second code word is coffee.
That's cool.
Coffee.
We all love that.
Yeah. Yep. And I said before that I shout the coffee. Often people will say, oh, no, let me get it because you're hosting us, you're giving away free info and they'll shout me. But I never expect that. My intention is always that I'm the generous one. Okay, now idea number three is, again, it is, and this time it's one-on-one. So the other two ideas have been group things. This time it's one-on-one, and it is offering planning sessions. Now, some of you might have had a post-conference action planning session with me. I have done them at various times with declutter clients too, especially this time of year. But basically, you want to offer them a session with you. Now, whether it's 15 minutes, 30 minutes, 1 hour, really is up to you and how generous you want to be. Don't forget, your aim is probably to entice them to spend money with them, so with you. So you don't want to give everything away for nothing. But you can have a win-win situation where they're getting value, but they're feeling pretty good because, you know, they are getting the value and you're getting to know them, getting to figure out if they are really a client that you want to work with, how you would do that, what's their situation, etc. So some ideas for the planning sessions are, ta-da, this is new, the new year. Maybe it's a new year planning session. Maybe you help somebody with goal setting and smart actions and so on. So that's a way to connect with them, show them some of your expertise, get them comfortable with you, and the next action, plan some next actions, which might well be an appointment with you, you know, in home. Now, I should have also said these planning sessions, I have done them mostly on the phone or via Skype. You can do them in person. So, for instance, you might set yourself up in a coffee shop and say, all right, every half hour I'm going to allow someone 20 minutes with me and schedule it so that you're there for the virtually the whole day and have people coming in to visit you. But that's a little harder for people to commit to. You know, not everybody can get away from their lives for 20 minutes and drive across town to see you. That's why these sessions work really well on the phone or on Skype. So apart from New Year's planning sessions, maybe a back-to-school planning session. With school going back at the end of this month, a lot of mothers in particular are probably thinking, oh, thank goodness, once the kids are back, I'll get my house in order. Once the kids are back, I'll start on that project, you know. And sometimes it's when the kids start in school, you know, the little ones finally mum's got some time at home alone, and she might just appreciate some planning about what's going to happen then and how will she start getting organised. And the other thing is where to start set planning sessions. So an action plan. You know, some people might just want a chat with you for 15 minutes to give them some ideas about where on earth to start. And that conversation is so valuable to introduce you to them as somebody who knows what they're doing, someone who understands their needs, someone who can lead them through the process in a non-judgmental way, all of those things. So there you go. And, of course, you can do these things for free. If they were just 15-minute sessions, you'd probably do it for free. If you wanted to do an hour-long session, I would say charge people for it. But remember what your intention is with the planning sessions. If it is as a marketing exercise, you might do it for free. If it's more profit-driven, then, you know, you're going to want to think about what you'll charge. So how to? Mark your calendar, figure out the day that you're going to set aside or the week, and figure out the times. Now, I have found it useful to include a buffer zone between them. Don't have one after the other after the other. Make sure there's time for you to go to the toilet, have a drink, take a breath, because, you know, it's draining for you too to be thinking and you know, talking all that time. Allow time to take notes so that when you follow up, you have, you know, good notes that you can refer to. So mark your calendar and then make sure there's the time in between. Send out your invitation again, and if there is a theme to it, you could, you know, send the back to school planning theme to people who you know are parents, etc. Use a scheduling tool. An online one is great. I use doodle.com. That's doodle.com. And in there you can set, you can let it know all the times that you have available, and then people just click through the link and select the time that suits them the best, and then you get an email notifying you when they have booked themselves in. There's a lot of other kind of tools like that as well online. One that I haven't used but I know is called youcanbook.me. So it's youcanbook.me. youcanbook.me. So, yeah, it looks professional, and it certainly is hands-off and takes a lot of the jostling back and forth about when you're available and all that rubbish is taken right out of it. Now, with this, I would limit and manage the time and the expectations. So you want to make sure that they know it is, you know, 15 minutes that they're getting with you. And use the language, you know, when you're coming up to the 14th minute, say, all right, just before we wrap up, let's, you know, cover this, or one more question. That kind of language will help them to realise the time is limited and it's coming to a close. And even with the expectations, you know, in when you're writing your invitation, make sure people realise they're not going to get a written plan. They're not going to get the whole solution for their whole home and all their time management problems sorted out once and for all. That there's a limit to what you can give them in the short time. Now, be ready with an offer to give people. Be ready with, right, our next step is this, or this is an offer that I'm making to you, in a limited time offer or a, you know, a special deal, whatever you'd like to make to them. And in your session, make sure you are prescribing next steps. You know, say, all right, now the next step for you will be, and make it clear that there is stuff that they can do, but that you're involved is quite useful, you know. It might be, okay, talk to your husband about the funds that might be available to do that project, or have a look in your calendar for when you're available. And, of course, these are the things that you'll follow up on as well, because, as always, the how-to involves following up as well. So how do you feel about planning sessions?
I think it's a really good idea, especially I like your idea of doing it at the beginning of the new year, and if you've got clients like I do, which are, or maybe a lot of us do, which are busy mums, the back to school thing, you know, it's so true. Back to school, menu planning, you know, I want to get kids routine. I think it's a brilliant idea.
Yeah, there's lots of things that people want help with, and that there's a few I call them magical deadlines, you know. One of them is Christmas, that everybody wants everything organised by Christmas. Yeah. And the other is, you know, when the kids go back to school, that's another magical, not a deadline, but a sort of a point in time. When they go, phew, suddenly I'm going to have lots of time and be able to do all these projects without kids underfoot. So,
I think too, spring, like I notice always in the spring I get really busy people. It's like, you know, summer's going to be coming, you've been inside too long. So that, I don't know if you found that, but that could be a good one.
For me, as soon as the first sign of spring flowers comes, the phone calls start coming.
I know, it's funny. I love it. What the hell is that?
Yeah, it's like people have been hibernating and they're sick of all that, you know, so they're ready to sweep, you know, sweep things aside and get fresh and let the fresh air into their homes. It's great.
Yeah, that's good, yeah.
Any questions about the planning sessions?
No, good.
Okay. All right, well, I'll move on quickly then to the bonus task. This is a little bit boring, but I think it's necessary to do on an annual basis at least, and that is your website review. Now, it's not going to kickstart anything. It's not going to, you know, drag volumes of people to your website, but it is good to stay fresh and relevant and so on. And things can quickly go out of date. And you've got to also look at your website objectively. I had an incident just this week, actually. I got an inquiry from somebody, and it was a referral from somebody who lives in Perth. So that clue, the fact that the person who referred was in Perth, that made me think, well, maybe this person that inquired is also from Perth. And that was important because I didn't want to ring them when it was 6 a.m. for them, you know. So when I was about to ring, I needed to check. So I went to the person's website and I wanted to check where they were based. Well, nowhere on their website did it tell me where they were. There were a few other things wrong with the website, but the main thing was, if I was somebody in Perth looking for that service, I would not know that they were in Perth. So, you know, that's one thing to always make sure. Do people know where you are? Do they know how to contact you? That sort of thing you've got to make sure is obvious to everybody when they get to your website. Now, a little experience closer to home, just I think it was yesterday actually, I have had on my website for quite a long time a video of me talking to camera. Now, I've never really liked it, but, you know, I believe that the client should see a little bit of me. So it's always sat there on my website. And, you know, I've been thinking, oh, I must replace that video. I must make a new video. Because for one thing, I don't look like that anymore at all. I'm now blonde and way much less than in that video. So I want to look like, you know, the person's going to expect me when I turn up on their doorstep. Anyway, I had been in my head, in my perfectionist head, I was thinking, oh, yes, one day I'm going to make a new video and then I'll put that on the website. And then all of a sudden yesterday I realised, hang on, I've had new headshots done. Why does it have to be a video? It doesn't. It can just be a photo of me showing my personality. And so right there and then I changed, the video is gone and the photo is on there. So don't hang around for ages like I did thinking that it needs to be perfect before you make a change. I might make a video one day that gets up on the front page of my website, but in the meantime, there's something else that's perfectly okay. Decide what you want your website to achieve. Is it you want people to phone you right away? Do you want them to sign up to your newsletter? Do you want to make them feel at ease? And make sure that your website is doing that. Ask your target audience to check. Now, this is important. You know, you might look at your website and think, wow, that's a fantastic website. I can't believe how clever I am. But it might not actually say what it needs to say to the person that you want to attract. Now, another website I visited last week was, it was a very clever business name. It wasn't an organiser. It was a clever business name, but it didn't tell me what they did. So it wasn't until I went in and looked at their about page and read their story, about three paragraphs in, I finally got it, why they chose that business name. But it really didn't tell me anything. So think about who it is you're talking to and does it speak to them. Now, the one way to get this to happen is to ask somebody who fits your target audience profile, ask them to check. Ask a few of them to check. Ask them to have a look and say, what, you know, what do you understand about me from my website? And then check your website for you. Are you there? Are you shining? Like I said with my stupid video and now my improved headshot, it's a much better impression of people are going to get of me. It's realistic now and it's not me droning on to camera. But anyway, you want to make sure there's something of you on your website and hopefully something showing a little bit of personality. So how to? Check the links. Check every link that's on your website. Make sure they're all working. Check your website from different browsers, internet browsers, so from Firefox, from what do you call them? Google, the other one. The one I don't use, obviously. From Internet Explorer. Because different websites can look different on those different platforms. Ask for help. Ask people that you know to check it out for you. You know, objective eyes will help you out. And if you're not detail-oriented, ask somebody who is. You want somebody to notice, you know, is there a gap there where there shouldn't be? Is there, you know, is this wording not quite right? Those are the things that you want to have a look at. And my offer to my Professional Organisers Edge members is if you send me the link to your website, tell me what you want your website to achieve, you know, that kind of thing. I'll have a look at it for you. Can't promise that I'm in your target market, but I promise I am pretty detail-oriented and I'll give you an honest, you know, appraisal of what I think. If you would like to, all you need to do is email and let me know. So that brings me to the third code word, which is contact. Contact with your target audience is what you want with your website. Contact. Any questions about the website review?
I'd just like to say one thing. You're talking about reviewing it like we're talking about kickstarting your, you know, best year yet, so
yep.
2016.
Yep.
One thing that I find with my website is I work on it all the time.
Uh-huh.
So that's just one thing that I do so I don't get lumped with having to do a million things at once. And
good.
Even though I lump myself with another million things that I have to do, the one thing I do actually do is that because I have somebody who helps me to do it, and she's my web designer, but she doesn't charge a lot.
Yeah.
So I know if I need to update things, which I sort of do regularly, I
okay.
don't have to pay a lot of money. So that's just something that I just wanted to share that works with me, for
cool.
me.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
It is important. I mean, it's your presence out there. That's all you've got to
yeah.
go by. Somebody finds that and it is representing you, so you've got to make it work for you.
Yeah.
Excellent. Any other questions?
No.
No? Okay. All right. I will tell you now what to do with the code words. As always, email them to me at angela@creatingorder.com.au. Pop, you know, kickstart best year yet into the subject line so I know which certificate you're claiming. I'm pleased to say there has been a big rush this week of people claiming certificates. I've had several, so that's really good. If you're waiting on a certificate from me, don't worry, you'll get it in the next few days. Anyway, so that you know what to do with those code words, email them to me. I have a question for you, and that is when you're emailing me, while you're about it, could you please tell me if there's something that you want me to cover in a teleclass? It might be that it takes, you know, a whole teleclass to explain it, or it might just be, a, you know, a small part of one. But if there's something that you're keen to hear about, I'm keen to hear about that too. So let me know. And the next teleclass is on February 23rd. It's called Leverage Your Content. Now, this, I'm really looking forward to presenting this one because it is, it's leading on from what we talked about, you know, the things that you can do with your content. Now, you've got, you might have ideas bursting out of you. You might have so many great tips and blog posts in you that, you know, you just don't know how you're going to capture them all and share them with people. Well, this is going to help you figure out a process for that and figure out how to get it done using the least effort of all, because, you know, we've got other things to be doing. So whatever content that you've got to share with the world, there's an efficient way to capture it all and make the most of it. On the other hand, you might be somebody who thinks, oh, I don't know anything special. I'm not, you know, I'm just an organiser who knows how to organise. Well, rubbish. You have so much in you that you haven't realised yet, and we will be able to draw that out of you and make it easy to share what you know with your clients and with the greater, wider world, so that you can, reap the benefits, whether that's in getting clients, getting the word out about your talents, or getting money directly from products using those things. So that's our next teleclass on February the 23rd. In the meantime, thank you for being here and listening to the recording as well. And all the best with 2016 and kickstarting your best year yet. I can't wait to hear about your success.
Thank you, Angela.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.